It is good to look forward to a place where there's no tears, no sorrow, no heartache, no pain. Nothing to bring us stress or worry or fretting because of the wonderful presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 3:16, we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God loved and he gave. Love gives. Love gives. Now, over 50 years ago, I was a 17-year-old high school senior. And I fell in love with a young lady in my church that had just turned 15. And immediately I wanted to give her something. And I noticed that the Bible that she was carrying was pretty well tattered. So I ran over to Fagan's bookstore there in Albemarle and picked out a nice white Bible. And I got to thinking, her mom and daddy may not like me giving her a gift. So I thought, I'll fix that. So I had Miss Fagan put her name on there, Pamela Allman, in bold gold letters right on the Bible so that her mom and daddy wouldn't make her give it back. And they kept it. A few months later, I was down at Chapel Hill as a freshman, and she had her 16th birthday. And I thought, what am I going to do? And so I knew one of the florists here in Albemarle. So I wrote him and I think it was $20. I put some money in an envelope and I said, I don't know how much flowers cost, but would you please take a dozen red roses over to her house for her 16th birthday? And if this isn't enough money, let me know and I'll give you some more the next time I see you. Well, I don't know whether I sent him enough money or he was romantic, but he put 16 roses in that vase. And when he showed up at her mama's house and knocked on the door and mama came to the door and said, you're at the wrong place. A few years later, when she started college, the only winter coat she had was a used hand-me-down that was totally out of place for a beautiful young college co-ed. And so I got the Sears catalog out, picked out a nice coat that I thought she would like, ordered it, and I didn't even wait for her birthday. When it came in, I ran over there and said, hey, here it is. And she wore it for years. Love loves to give. Well, she blessed me by marrying me. She did me the honor of marrying me a few years later, and 50 years later, she still does the honor of being my wife. And I like to do things for her. Even if it's just stopping by McDonald's and getting her a mocha frappe or whatever it is that she likes. I've given her some cheap things and some expensive things, but I like to surprise her with gifts. Because love gives. Now, I'm not saying that to make you pat me on the back or make myself feel good. I hope that as I've told these stories, you've thought of some things where you've, out of love, given somebody something or they've given you something. Because love gives. Transistor radios, you know, with the batteries, came out when I was a teenager. And one Christmas, I got a used transistor radio. It was about yay big for Christmas. And I thought I was really something. I carried it on my shoulder when I was walking around, and of course it was sitting around whenever I was doing something. And I enjoyed that thing for years, even though it was used when I got it. Later, I found out how I got that. My daddy didn't have a lot of money for Christmas presents that year, and he swapped one of his coon dogs for that radio. Now, if you know my daddy, he would have rather swapped one of his kids. I mean, you know, his coon dogs were special to him. You know, but see, love gives. For my daddy to swap a coon dog for a present to give one of his kids was very, very special. Love gives. Let's look at the Bible and start with me in the book of Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. Now those children of Israel in the wilderness, they messed up a lot. They made mistakes, they sinned, but when it came to giving, they got it right. Think about it. When they left Egypt, the Egyptians were so glad to get rid of them because of the plagues that he said, take my silver, take my gold, take my jewels, take my, you know, take everything. And it says they spoiled the Egyptians. And so after they were in the wilderness for a while, God says, I want you to build me a tabernacle. And so the word came. And if you look at verse 20 of Exodus 35, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. You see, it wasn't begrudging, it was made a willing heart. Their hearts were stirred, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. Again, it comes out of a willing heart, a heart of love. And they brought bracelets, earrings, rings, tablets of jewels, gold. Every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. And everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands, and they brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and scarlet. And it goes on and on. It says, their hearts were touched. They were so excited. They were so blessed from having come out of slavery and to be set free and to have a God that was so wonderful and so powerful that out of a willing heart and a loving heart, they gave. And in fact, if you'll go over to chapter 36, verse 5, it says, and they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work of which the Lord hath commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary for the people. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. It says they gave so much that finally Moses had to say, folks, don't bring any more. Don't bring any more. Now, can you imagine if I stood up here one Sunday morning and said, now, folks, please don't bring any more offering. You've given so much in the last few weeks that we can't get it all counted and recorded and into the bank. Just hold off. We've got more than we can handle right now. Just don't bring any more. Can you imagine that happening? You see, a heart of love. And you notice how it talked about willing heart. Hearts that were touched. Out of their willing hearts, out of their love for God, they were giving and giving generously. We won't look at the scripture, but you know later, David felt led of the Lord to build that glorious temple that his son Solomon built. And David went out and bought the piece of property that was to become the site of the building site for the temple. And the owner of the property tried to give it to David once he realized, hey, this is the king. He tried to give it to David. And David said, I can't give the Lord which costs me nothing. And so he bought the property for a reasonable price as a place for the temple. And then David gave willingly millions of his own dollars to get Solomon started on the temple. You say, well, David had it. I mean, you know, he had millions. What's the big deal? But what about when Jesus tells the story, or the scripture tells the story of Jesus standing there and says, that lady just gave more than anybody else today. And the disciples look, that poor ragged little lady, she just put in two pennies, two mites, the King James says. But out of a willing, loving heart, she gave. Now let's go over to the book of Acts. You know, for weeks now, we've been looking at characteristics of the New Testament church. And one of the characteristics, that the one we're going to look at today, is what a giving, sacrificial church they were. Go to Acts chapter 2. You know, we've already looked at earlier about they were being in one accord. Verse 42 of chapter 2, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. Verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Chapter 4, verse 32 and following. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said they of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great graces upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who was by apostles, was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Notice what a generous, giving group the New Testament church was. And it was not just here in Antioch, I mean at Jerusalem. Later you'll find that Paul writes about the offerings that the church in Corinth and others were taking up for him to take back to Jerusalem for those who were in need. And so throughout the New Testament, we find the generosity, the sacrificial giving of the New Testament church. I don't think anybody impoverished himself or herself to give. They were just doing it out of love. Out of love for one another, out of love for the Lord, they brought their gifts. Now think about it for a moment. They were eating together, so they were sharing their food. They were giving to the widows. You remember in Acts 6, the problem of some of the widows felt like they weren't being treated fairly. And they elected deacons to make sure everything was well taken care of. And no doubt it was given to people, some of them that didn't even know. I mean, you know, you think 3,000 church members and then 5,000 more added. They couldn't have known everybody that was a part of the fellowship, but they gave so that needs could be met. Their hearts were generous. They were loving in their generosity and giving to the Lord. And they were giving it because they loved. They loved the Lord, they loved the church, and they were giving. Why do we give? Let me talk about some reasons that we give. We give first because the Lord commanded it. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And so we give first because the Lord told us to. And there's a promise there that as we are faithful, the Lord will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing, that there's not room enough for us to receive it. We give to meet needs, like those church there, the churches there in the New Testament. We see people hungry, we see people in need, and we give to meet those needs. Now we have to be careful. There are plenty of con artists, and there are people that show up at the door of the church or knock on the door of the pastor and say, I need help, and really they're going from this church to that church to the other church, and they don't really need help. They just live off of somebody else's generosity. We need to be careful where we give, but at the same time, we give to meet need. We give for missions. I think about the fact that when you read in Philippians, Paul writes to the Philippian church and he says, you folks have sent stuff to help me, an offering to help me on more than one occasion. You've been generous with your giving in order to help me as I further the gospel in preaching. And so wherever Paul went, that Philippian church was behind him, backing him up. And thank the Lord that, you know, for the thousands of missionaries that are scattered around the world that this church and other churches support because they love the Lord. We give in order to sow seed. Is another reason to give. The Bible has a law of sowing and reaping. The more we sow, the more we receive. It's not a selfish thing. It's so that we can be a blessing to others. Now, one of the joys of coming out to Barbie's Grove every week has been coming by all these beautiful fields of corn and cotton and soybeans. Now, how did they get there? Not a single farmer sat in his recliner and watched television last spring and said, I hope I get a good harvest this spring or next fall. No, they got out there on those tractors and they plowed and did whatever they needed to do to get those seed in the ground. And they had to get the seed and put it in the ground. Now, they didn't put the seed in the woods. They didn't put the seed out there on the hard pavement. They put the seed in fertile ground. And because they did, it looks like they're going to have a good harvest. And if they wanted corn, they didn't put squash seed in the ground. You want to be blessed financially? Put financial seed in the ground and put it in good ground. It's a law of sowing and reaping. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis and continues all the way through the New Testament, where as we sow, we reap. And as we sow, the more we reap. As we sow into good ground. Another reason that we give is to worship. Just to let the Lord know we love Him. When you hand in your offering on Sunday morning, whether it's a Sunday school class or whether it's in worship service, picture handing it to Jesus. Picture handing it to Jesus. Because after all, that's what we're doing. Love gives. And the more I love Jesus, the more excited I get about giving to Jesus. You see, I want to give because I want Jesus to know how much I love him. I want to give to my wife because I want her to know how much I love her. I want to give to Jesus because I want him to know how much I love him. And I want to give in ways that honor him and worship him and praise him and let him know I'm so glad I'm saved and that I'm going to a place of heaven where there's going to be no worries anymore. Excited about giving. You know, it's one thing I didn't mention. Giving to meet the church budget. Because from the time I was a teenager, I didn't like church budgets. I had put together 40-some of them as a pastor, and I still didn't like a single one of them. And if I gave every one of you a sheet and said, do a budget for Barbie's Grove for next year, there wouldn't be a single one of them that'd be the same. Because we're all different. Every budget I helped every church put together, they spent money on some things I wish they hadn't spent as much money on, and they spent too little on some other things. But, you know, we just did the best we could and put together something that was be acceptable to most of the church. And then it hit me one day, you know, my personal financial budget at home, I don't like the way it is either. I bet you don't yours either. Anybody enjoy paying taxes? I don't. I don't like what the government does with some of my tax money. But I pay it anyway. Every so often my wife will say, hey, I'm going to mom's. And she'll go over to, she'll be gone 2 or 3 hours. And when she comes in, she's got a bag. I said, I thought you were going to your mom. She said, yeah, but I stopped by Penny's or Belk's or Ross's to see what was on the sale rack. And look at this nice blouse I got off the sale rack. And I say, you got more blouses now than you know what to do with. You can't wear them all. But I don't kick her out because she bought a blouse that I didn't think she really needed. But to be fair to her, couple of days later when I come in and I got an arm full of books and she says, where you been? I said, I've been to the bookstore. And she says, what are you doing buying any more books? You got more books now in the county library. And she doesn't kick me out. See, church budgets is just like your family budget. They don't really please us, but they're just a necessary part of life. And so I don't worry about meeting the church budget. I just worry about how much we love Jesus. You realize, you know, in 50-something years, I've never looked at anybody's church books. I've never looked at anybody's church books to see what anybody gave. Now, you listen to people talk, and pretty much you figure it out after a while, but I've never looked. But every church, in a typical Baptist church, if everybody tithed, offerings would go up 5 times. Instead of a $100,000 budget, you'd be getting $500,000 a year at Barbie's Grove. If this is a typical church and everybody tithed. Now, you're not going to pay the preacher anymore. You're not going to need any more for the light bill. You're going to need the same amount of literature, same amount for the heat. You'd have $400,000 a year to do missions. $400,000 a year to do missions. And another $400,000 a year to do missions next year and the year after that. It all comes down to our love for Jesus. I don't worry about church budget. I worry about our hearts. You see, those folks in the wilderness, as messed up as they were, it says they had a willing heart. And they brought so much Moses said, we can't take any more. That woman with the two mites, she had a willing heart. So it's not what we have, big or little, it's the willing heart. That New Testament church, some had some didn't. But they had a loving, willing heart. I hadn't thought about this recently, but just now the Holy Spirit brings it to memory. Years and years ago, when I was down at Brush Creek in Chatham County, one of my church, older church ladies, was in a nursing home down about Lillington, down close to Bowie's Creek. And I visited her once in a while. You know, it's a long drive, but I visited her once in a while. And one day, and I knew that what she got in Social Security was almost nothing, and that the nursing home took everything that she had. And one day when I was down there visiting her, you remember the little frames with the little pegs on them that you could do the little strips through and make potholders? She was doing that one day when I was down there. And she said, "Preacher, I sell these," and I think she got about 50 cents a piece for them back then. "And I use that to buy the lotions and the other things that I have to, toothpaste or whatever that she had to have, because all of her money went to the nursing home." So she was making those little pot holders to have some money for her personal needs. I don't know, a few weeks after that, I got a letter from her. Opened it up, and there's three crinkled $1 bills in there. And she said, "Preacher, please give this to the church." And I wanted to sit down and cry. She didn't have anything, but she still loved her church. She still loved her church. And she loved her Jesus. Love gives. And when we fall in love with Jesus, and when we fall in love with the church, it takes care of it all. It takes care of it all. Father, help us to be so excited and so in love with you, so in love with you, and so in love with our church, that we want to give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, not because somebody twisted our arm, but because we love. You so loved us that you gave your Son. May we so give financially, time, talents, spiritual gifts, because we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. As I have the time of invitation, if there's someone here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that. Someone that needs to rededicate their life, just to come to the altar or share with me, or some other decision you want to make. You need prayer. You want me to pray with you. Would you come?